I am here with Hainsborough Manager Deborah Schnabel to talk about the October 10th Assembly meeting. Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
So the first thing on the Assembly agenda is the canvass that's going to determine the third open Assembly seat. Right now, Sean Mady's in the lead, but Diana Lapham and Michael Fullerton are not too far behind.
That's right.
So do we know how many ballots are set to be counted there?
I think that there are 46 ballots that are out. Either 13 or 15 of them are ballots that are unquestioned, but they're just not received yet because we keep track of how many are sent out. And then the others are questioned ballots for whatever reason, and the Assembly will determine whether or not they're going to count those ballots.
Okay, so that count will happen at the beginning of the meeting.
And yes.
Will the new Assembly members be taking their seats at this meeting or the next one?
At the next one on January, where did I get that?
October.
October, right, on October 24th.
Okay, so this will be Ron Jackson's last meeting.
Yes, it will be.
Mm-hmm. And then two proposals that have not made for easy decisions for the Assembly, the tobacco and marijuana excise tax ordinances are up for adoption. They could be postponed again, but where do those stand?
It's interesting to me that there seems to be a pretty vocal, I don't know how big it is, but a very vocal community that has come forward and opposed taxes for a couple of reasons. One being that they see this as a targeted tax on a certain demographic of people, those who smoke. And then there are others who question just the idea that we're trying to raise taxes. It's interesting to me because these two excise taxes have been adopted by so many Alaska communities, big and small. The excise tax on cigarettes is imposed in Barrow, Onaktuvuk Pass, Sitka, Anchorage, Juneau. I mean, it's all over, but Haines seems to have a strong vocal group that doesn't think that it's in the best interest of the public.
At the last meeting, they postponed the tobacco excise tax because of opposition from major business owner Mike Ward. Do you know if he's going to be present at this meeting, or have the Assembly members been able to talk with him and answer some of the questions that they had?
I haven't been informed on that. I would hope that Mike would come forward and speak his mind to the Assembly. If he's not, I would assume that we will go to a vote.
Okay. And then we also have an ordinance pertaining to the Heliski map amendment process. So this would set up a new procedure outlining the steps that proposed Heliski map changes would have to go through. And the final decision is still in the Assembly's hands. That wouldn't change. But the input and review process is different. Instead of a special Heliski map committee, two existing committees, the Tourism Advisory Board and the Parks and Rec Committee, will review the amendments along with input from agencies like Fish and Game. And this new ordinance also deals with conflict of interest issues that came up the last time around. So if those changes are approved, do we know what timeline we're looking at for Heliski map amendments? There are a few pending right now.
I don't. I know that there are pending recommendations that were not acted on previously, but this ordinance has taken such a long time to move forward that the timeline that's even described within the ordinance cannot be met for this year. So that's something that I'll make a recommendation on probably at tomorrow's meeting. But at this point in time, I think that things will just stay static for the next year until this new, whatever is described in the ordinance, is able to be affected in 2018.
Mm-hmm. And you said that you're going to be considering some requests for Heliski days from the operators?
The operators have submitted their requests for allocated skeeter days. The total requested is more than there have been allocated by code. So I do have that responsibility to make a determination of who gets how many skier days. And yes, this week that will be decided.
Okay. And then you also have, as part of your manager's report, a draft request for proposals related to LUTAC Doc. Can you explain what's involved in that RFP?
Yes. The The joint meeting that occurred a week or so ago between the Assembly and Ports and Harbor and the Planning Commission all kind of moved us to a place where we identified the roll-on, roll-off dock as the most important aspect of the port that we want to focus on to see if we need to, what we can do to repair or replace the roll-on, roll-off facility. Because without that, we have nothing. So we right now don't have an engineering firm under contract. So this RFP is a proposal to get us an engineer to help guide us through the process of analyzing the status quo, making recommendations on, you know, what our alternatives are, and then moving forward as quickly as possible.
So will this help us get to the point where we know what design we're going to be pursuing for LUTAC dock?
Not for the dock itself. No, we're just focusing on roll-on, roll-off facility right now. If the ultimate decision is to replace the existing roll-on, roll-off dock facility, then which is, I think that is where we are going, then the alternative for the Dolphins, which had a roll-on, roll-off design, would probably be moot at that point. Mm-hmm. So the future of the LUTAC dock, as we know it right now, would still be a questionable thing, whether or not we pursue the large replacement, you know, to recreate the LUTAC dock as we have always known it, or we abandon that. That still would be determined after we complete the roll-on, roll-off repair or replacement.
And then also on the agenda, the Public Safety Commission wants to change code to expand its scope and become the Public Health and Safety Commission. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty exciting. The Public Safety Commission is very aware that a lot of the police service right now is dealing with people who have substance abuse issues and who have more health-related issues, mental concerns and substance abuse issues. That's a large part of what the police deal with. And so to bring that more into the public's view, to know what the police work is all about, they wanted to increase the seating, the consultation on the planning on the commission would now include mental health service providers and health service providers, medical service providers, and also then change the name of the Public Safety Commission to Health and Public Safety Commission.
Mm-hmm. And this was a change that was recommended by the police chief, Heath Scott?
That was recommended by him. I think that really this entire conversation started with the Public Safety Commission's desire to talk about the opioid epidemic. I speak about that nationally. And they had a town hall meeting or a discussion where a lot of people in the community came forward. And it was really evident that there was a need for more attention to be placed on that aspect of policing to ensure that we were getting the attention so that we could not make criminals out of people who were addicts, not make criminals out of people who have mental illness, which is kind of what we do now. So it's broadening the scope. Yes, the police chief brought it forward, but I think it was much more of an upwelling, I guess, or a consciousness raising, you know, among the members of the Public Safety Commission. That's how I perceived it.
And where does that stand, the idea of creating opioid awareness task force or drug awareness task force that the Public Safety Commission was talking about? Are they going to take that on?
Or? They are.
Okay. Because they were recommending making a separate committee
potentially. Because as a police, right, as a Public Safety Commission, they didn't really recognize that they, you know, would have that authority or that power to take on something like mental health or opioid or drug addiction or substance abuse or whatever. But by expanding the title and the scope of what they do, then that legitimizes it. So the Assembly basically said, why are you asking us? You know, go ahead, do it.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else on the agenda that you wanted to point out?
There's just a couple of make good things. The borough is moving from a four-year rotation on the assessments of borough property to a six-year cycle. I think that's about it.
All right. That is Haynesboro Manager Deborah Schnabel talking about the items on the assembly agenda. The meeting is on Tuesday, October 10th at 6:30 p.m. in Assembly Chambers, and you can find more information on the Haynesboro website.